These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ne'er Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
I hope you haven't made any plans for the rest of the evening. We have a rather long menu this evening, but I hope, Mr. Shem, that it'll be worthwhile. Let's begin at the beginning. A number of the most fascinating insights that one can possibly obtain. Vayero Elov Hashem v'yelonei mamrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu, v'elonei mamrei. Let's have a look at Rashi, v'elonei mamrei. Says Rashi, Hu shenosan lo eitzo al hamila. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu in elonei mamrei is because mamrei gave Avraham Avinu advice concerning the mila. Lefichach nigla olav bechelko. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu in that portion of land which belongs to Mount. Over the years, we have looked at this very fundamental question. After all, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Avraham Avinu the mitzvah of Mila, why does he need to go and ask advice of Mamre? Because if Mamre gave him advice, it's obvious that he only gave it to him because he was asked for it. So why did the Avraham Avinu go to ask advice of Mamre? I came across a most fascinating thesis in a sefer known as Torah Aharon. And it is, to my mind, one of the most profound insights that I have come across in many a day. Uve sefer Torah Aharon al HaTorah, in the sefer Torah Aharon, may thee he brings V'shem hagon ha-kodosh Rav Avraham Lando mitzichin mi shechinov. That's all. Okay. After we've got the name right, let's see what he says. Mishum kach. It is for this reason that Avraham lo kach eitzazu mi goy. Why did Avraham Avinu ask a goy to give an eitzah about whether he should perform the mitzvah of Milo or not? Why? Says this. Rav Avraham Lando. So that the fact that he asked a goy whether he should do the mitzvah or not should have repercussions on those people who are sinners amongst us throughout the generations, hamachshivim es hagoyim, who have derecheres for goyim, umischashvim im deyoseim v'yatzoseim, and keep their advice and their opinions with greater the respect than they do Jewish ones. Why? So that shelo yisbayishu me hagoyim v'yekayimu mitzvat mila. So that even a Jew who has no time for the Torah, he'll have time for mila. You know why? Because a goy told Avraham Avinu it's really a wonderful thing kedai to do. Mipenei she'etz ha'etz on nitno mi goy. V'hosi, and Rav Avraham Lando adds, that we see this with our own eyes. Even those who are totally assimilated, and keep very, very few mitzvos. Why? Because they want to be as like the goyim as they possibly can. But mila they don't leave God. Says that Avraham Lando, that is the reason why Avraham Avinu went to take advice from a guy, so that there should be here in this mitzvah an added element which will ensure that even Yidden who have no respect for Torah, but who have respect for what the goyim say and think, even those sort of Yidden will be there. And this is what we see b'yeinenu. It's the most fascinating. We see people who are members of the embassy, who don't know from Yom Kippur, don't know from Al-Acholos Asuras, and they are sent to the far-flung corners of the world, but on the eighth day they insist that they fly in a Moel. Doctor, that's the pshat, and that's the reason why. Something well worth thinking about. Okay, let's go further. His second pasuk. Vayisoin o vayar. Avraham Avinu lifts up his eyes and he sees. The hinei shalayishu anoshim nitzavim olav, and he sees there are three men who are standing there. So we notice immediately that the verb vayar appears not once but twice in the pasuk. And here we have a most wonderful thesis which is presented by the Hamikdash. Says in its here, Vayar Shnei Pa'amim. The verb appears on two occasions in the pasuk. And of course, we require to understand why this should be so. The Omru Barabo, and in the Medrash Rabo, they offer the following explanation. The first Yar is Vayar is Bamalochim. He looked at the Malochim. And the second Vayar is Bashchina. He looked at the Shechina. Now that in itself requires some understanding. What do you mean? First he looked at the Malochim, and then he looked at the Shechina. The Enem of Ur Kolkach, and it's not so understandable as to exactly what is going on. The Od Isosham, and there is another perplexing comment in the Medrash, when it says there, Omar Avraham Avinu said, when he saw the Malochim standing there, Im Yihiyu Mechavdim Zeyezeh, if I notice that each of the Malochim, whoever they are, that they are giving their Derecherets one to the other, Bnei Adam Gedolim, then I know that they are Choshev the people. Says the Nativ, and if they're not Choshev the people, there's no mitzvah of Hachnosa Zorichim. Hachnosa Zorichim is only by Choshev the people. V'nechuda Kosha, that's a difficult statement. V'chimisha hu machnis oreach, is the person who brings in a guest to his home, medatzek al hu oreach, im hu adam godl olo. Otherwise, you're not going to bring him into his house. The mitzvah of Hachnosa Zorichim is only by Rosh Hashivah. So exactly what does the Medrash mean? If I see that they're giving covet one to the other, I know that the Bnei Adam Chashuvim. Says in Etzi, Elokach ha'inyan. The inyan is as follows, and all will be explained. Ba'asher shahaya Avraham Avinu shakua v'yosa sha'a v'yahabas Hashem u'vahakbolat p'nei Hashina. As we know, and Chazal mentioned it on the word Vayelo Elov Hashem, at this particular moment, when the Malachim appear, and they appear in the guise of Anoshim, when these people appear, Avraham Avinu at that moment is, as it were, involved, engrossed in Ahavas Hashem, and in Kabbalah Pnei HaShechina, in a Dveikus Hashem. Umelevad Shehutan Ugniflo, and apart from the fact that to be Shokua in Kabbalah Pnei HaShechina is in itself a delight of the most ecstatic nature, Ode, who mitzvah tasevi or haftu es Hashem alokecha kimavur v'parshazu. It is also the fulfillment of a mitzvah, as the Nesiv himself explains on that pasuk v'yo haftu es Hashem alokecha, that this closeness, this union with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the fulfillment of v'yo haftu es Hashem alokecha. So this particular moment, not only is Avraham Avinu involved in Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, but he is involved in the performance of a mitzvah. If you're involved in the performance of a mitzvah, then we are already approaching certain halachic considerations. And that is, do you set aside one mitzvah in order to perform another mitzvah? That's already a matter which is discussed at great length in various places in the Talmud. Umikol Malkum, even though Avraham Avinu is involved in this mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, nevertheless, if another mitzvah presents itself, and the other mitzvah that presents itself is such that time is of the essence, in other words, it's not a mitzvah which will still be there indefinitely, therefore, he would be duty-bound to interrupt the mitzvah of Yohavta, she'en lo zman kavua, which doesn't have a fixed time. So therefore, we now have a bit of a problem. Ein achinam Avraham Avinu is involved in the mitzvah of Yohavta, Hashem Elokecha. On the other hand, it is a mitzvah which is rather flexible time-wise. It doesn't really have a set time in which that mitzvah must be performed. And at this particular moment in time, when he is involved in this mitzvah, say, another mitzvah comes along where time is of the essence. Hachnosas Eirechim. And that is what the Gemara means when it says in Gemara Shabbos, G'dayla mitzvah hachnosas Eirechim yaseh mekabolas pnei hashchina, sh'nemar alos avorei el avdecha. That is what the Gemara means when it says that the mitzvah of hachnosas Eirechim is more important than the mitzvah of Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, more important to the extent that I have to set aside, for technical reasons, The mitzvah kavanas pnei hashchina, where the time is flexible, in order to be involved in a mitzvah where the time is of the essence. That is why the Netziv goes on to say, v'ein hakavanah, the intention of the Gemara when it says, yodayla hachlotas orechim yeshim kavanas pnei hashchina, it doesn't mean the misha machnis oireach godol mehamekabel pnei hashchina, that a person who is involved in hachlotas orechim is involved in a greater enterprise than a person who is mekabel pnei hashchina. That's not true. Elo rather shehi gedola means it is greater lidchos, to set aside and to force one to discontinue the mitzvah of kavanas pnei hashchina. Why? Shekachu ratzono yisporach sheyehei mitzvah ma'asis doche mitzvah zu she'ein lo shiur uzman. Because in reality this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own desire that a mitzvah which has no fixed time and which is more of a contemplative mitzvah should be set aside for a mitzvah which is a practical mitzvah and where time is of the end. That's what the Gemara means. The Heviu Raya, and indeed the Gemara brings a Raya that this is so, may Avraham Avinu shehivtik mehakabolas panei hashchina kedei la'asoik v'hachnosas ayrechim. V'revusik Omar, on the contrary, what the Gemara is saying is, that if you set aside kabolas panei hashchina for achnosas orechim, where time is of the essence, not because it has been mandated to take place in a special time, but rather as soon as the oreach presents himself, he has to be looked after, is how much more so does one have to set aside the inyan of kabolas panei hashchina for a mitzvah where the time to perform the mitzvah has actually arrived at this moment and will pass. So that is why he says, on the contrary, what the Gemara is telling us by saying that hachnosas orechim can set aside the mitzvah of kavolas b'nei hashchina, that's to tell you, the afilo hachnosas orechim shehi mitzvahs gemilas chasodim doche. Even the mitzvah of gemilas chasodim, which is a benodom lachaveiro, can set aside the kavolas b'nei hashchina, is mikol trikein mitzvah kavua minatora. How much more so when we are dealing with a mitzvah where the time is actually mandated? If it's shachris, if it's minuch, if it's ma'ariv, if it's matzah, whatever it may be. So therefore, we have a bit of a dilemma now. Although we seem to have solved it. We have the kabbalah pnei hashchina, which is a mitzvah saseh, ahavas Hashem. And here we have gemilut chasodim, hachnosas orechim, selechure, Avraham Avinu is duty-bound to set aside kabbalas pnei hashchina and to busy himself with hachnosas orechim. So that would seem to be a very clear-cut situation, says the Netziv, but it's not. Ochein ze eino elo b'mitzvah she'i efshe lehe'osos b'yad achirim. Avonim efshe lehe'osos b'yad achirim ein roi lidchos ahavat Hashem. The idea that one sets aside mitzvah A for whatever technical reasons, in order to involve oneself in mitzvah B, says the Netziv, but it is very well known that that is a general principle which applies when it does apply, only if mitzvah B is a mitzvah that can't be performed by somebody else. But if it's a mitzvah that can be performed by somebody else, what reason should there be in the world why you should set aside any mitzvah A in order to busy yourself in mitzvah B? So therefore, he says, that is only if it's E-F-S-L-A-H-E-O-S-O-S, if it can't be done by other people. And indeed, that is precisely the situation as described in the Gemara Meir Kotten Daf Tes in regarding Talmud Torah, that if I am involved in Talmud Torah, I must set it aside in order to look after a mitzvah which comes my way where time is of the essence. But, says the Gemara Meir Kotten, if the mitzvah that presents itself to me while I am shoku of a Talmud Torah is a mitzvah that can be done by somebody else, I'm not allowed to set aside the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, perform the mitzvah. The Cholze Mevua Bakotten. So therefore, now we understand what it's all about. This is the theme in the two vayars in the Pesukim. The Avraham Avinu v'shor sheroet hamalochim v'gamro v'shechino, because Avraham Avinu was faced with a dilemma. Rav hamalochim, he sees the malochim, there's a mitzvah of achlosas orechim, v'rav v'shechino, and he sees the shechino, therefore there's a mitzvah of kabbalas for the achshechino, and he says to himself, am I duty bound to interrupt the shechino in order to look after the malachim? So therefore, hoyotama, he was wondering to himself, ucheino yodea malasos, he didn't know what to do. Why? Imlehi potem in ashchina, either to bid the Shechina farewell, what does he do? Achakein is Yashev Badover v'yomar. Then he decided there's only one way to resolve this dilemma, and said, Im b'nei Adam gedolim heim, if they are indeed b'nei Adam gedolim, I can't ask somebody else, one of my servants, to perform the mitzvah of Achnasas Orechim. Because Achnasas Orechim, if you're talking about Anoshim Mechubadim, you can't ask the home health to look after them. So therefore he says, Im b'nei Adam gedolim heim v'yein kevodim litzavot l'mishorishim l'hachnisim l'abayis. If they are b'nei Adam gedolim, then I won't be able to ask somebody else to do it for me. I'll have to do it myself. But if they are ordinary people, then the mitzvah of Achnasas Orechim falls into the category of a mitzvah that can as well be achieved by other people. So therefore, says the Medrash, Vayar twice, he noticed the Shechina, he noticed the Malachim, and he has to make up his mind which gets preference from a halachic point of view. I'm involved in a mitzvah, I say, at the moment of Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. On the other hand, I have a mitzvah where this man is a veris of Achlosas Eilechim. So lechura, I should have to set aside the mitzvah of Avos Hashem in order to become involved in Achlosas Eilechim. But the klal is that you have to be matzik from mitzvah A to perform mitzvah B where time is of the essence, only if you cannot get somebody else to do mitzvah B. And therefore the question will be, are they indeed b'nei Adam gedolim? Im mechavdim zeh zeh, I will know that they are b'nei Adam gedolim and I'll have to do it myself. And if not, then I can give it to somebody else. Let's have a look at this particular pasuk again. I have to tell you, this morning came upon something quite fascinating. All right, so he runs to meet them. Who is a greater machnis orechim than Avraham Avinu? So he runs, vayishtachu orso, and he bows down to the ground. That sounds to us very nice. Couldn't have a warmer welcome. The equivalent of the mat. Okay, fine. There's a bit of a problem. Why? If you look in Rashi, on the words, Yukachnomi Yakmayim Varachatsu Raglechem. Avraham Avinu says to these gentlemen, let's take a little water and wash your feet. What does Rashi say on Varachatsu Raglechem? Kisovur, Rashi thought, Shehem Arvim, that they're Arabs. Shemishtachavim Le'avak Raglechem, who bow down to the dust on their feet. And he was particular not to bring Avodah Zarah into his house. That's the Yukach Nomi Yatmaim Barachat Uragle. Now we've all looked into these rations, and we've all looked into all these inyanim. They're most probably with us for the past, I won't say how many years, a long time. If the Avak Ragleim of Rashi is Avodah Zarah, it's what's by Yishtach Orsa. You're allowed to bow down to Avodah Zarah? He bows down to the ground. And Kistobur, and originally he thought that they were ordinary people, and they worshipped like the dust on their feet. How do you bow down to Avakraklein, which is their Avodah Zarah? And lo and behold, I came across a tshuva from Maharam al-Shaker. The Maharam al-Shaker, I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong date. He's born Reish Tafhei, which is 1465. So he's either a very, very late Rishon or a very early Achron, around the same time as the Beis Yosef. So he's one of the greats and one of the most eminent halachists we have. And in his Tshuvit and Siman I involve, he writes like this: He replied to his questioner, you have a bit of a problem with the whole episode of Avraham Avinu. How is he able to bow down to them while they're still carrying their Avodah Zarah? And you know that Ashtachavoya, bowing down to any Avodah Zarah, is one of the four forbidden Avodos. So much so, Mordechai put his life in jeopardy because he refused to bow down to Haman. So bowing down is, in fact, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, it's a forbidden activity. So how is Avraham Avinu able to bow down the Avak Raglev while they still had the dust on their feet? Hezmar Amal Chaka, Vadai De'eni Ro'eh Bekan Shum Koshi. I don't see any problem here, he said. Delo Osru Ela Hamishtacha Ve La'Avodah Zarah Asma. There's no problem in this situation. Why? Because the prohibition is only when you bow down to an Avodah Zarah which is standing there independently. Aval Hamishtacha Ve La'Oved Avodah Zarah. But to bow down to a person who worships Avodah Zarah, Eino Ochna. There's no wisdom. And this is confirmed in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where we read the Sani of the Brisa. Lo, Sishtacha Velohem. You shall not bow down to them, right? That refers to Loisa Zachol Pesel, Zachol Temuno, Ashtab Hashem Amimal, etc., etc. To them you cannot bow down. Lohem I Atom Ishtachave, Aval Atom Ishtachave, Le Adam Shekhem Oishtacha. But you can bow down to an ordinary person. Also, a Temuno, you can't bow down to. That excludes from the prohibition bowing down to a human being. Says the Gemara further, Yochol Afilu Nevad Gehomon. You might think that you can bow down to a person, even if the person is worshipped as a god. Says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar Losa of a day. You cannot worship even a person if the person is an individual who has established himself as a god. So therefore, what do we see? Provided the individual has not identified himself as a G-O-D with a small g to be worshipped, there's no problem whatsoever. And the Maharam al-Shaka goes on to say, Alme, just before the end of the brackets, from which we see, De'ein Osir Lihishtachavos Li'odom Ho'ovid Avodah Zarah. There is no problem in bowing down to a person who worships Avodah Zarah. The Afilu Kishahoyasa Avodah Zarah Teluya Olav. Even if the person who worships Avodah Zarah is wearing the Avodah Zarah, Mutter Lihishtachavos Lo. You're allowed to bow down to him. Because if you're bowing down to a person who happens to be wearing the Avodah Zarah, then what is construed by your action is really an act of respect towards the individual. And provided the Avodah Zarah is not there on its own, but merely suspended on the person of an individual who himself has never suggested that he or she is a god, there is no problem whatsoever in bowing down to a person who is wearing an Avodah Zarah. Dei the Avodah Zarah Teluya Olav Osur. Because if in fact there was an Isur, according to the Gemara, of bowing down to an ordinary person who is wearing an Avodah Zarah, then why did the Gemara say to exclude Haman, because Haman insists on being worshipped? It should have said there's another reason for not bowing down to Haman. Because the Taishlus brings a Chazal that Haman used to wear an Avodah Zarah on his person. So seemingly that's not the reason why you're not allowed to bow down to him according to the Gemara. You're only not allowed to bow down to him because he insists on being worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. Now, so let's go further. After the full stop. V'chein motzasi b'tshuva l'harav rabbeinu Yitzchok heviach sefer tshuma tadeshu b'hilchas Avodah Zarah zeh l'shoinai. And I found the same halachic conclusion as I have indicated. I found it in Truma Sadeshin. Regarding Al-Odos, this is the first time I've ever seen this word. Al-Odos ha-Galochim. But the Truma Sadeshin calls them Galochim, right? Sheyesh lehem tayev o'kavu alifneyem b'mgdeyem. They're wearing a cross on their person. Are you allowed to bow down to them? That's the kasha raised in the Truma Sadeshin. Says the Truma Sadeshin, Nirali shemuter lehishtachavos lehem. You're allowed to bow down to them. And you're now allowed to stand up in their honor. Because the individuals concerned are not suggesting for one moment that they are to be worshipped as Avodah Zarah. And when we stand up for them, we stand up in order to accord them respect because they are dignitaries. Lo mipnei sheisi ve'erev. Not because of the cross. Etc. He brings a riot from the Gemara Sanhedrin like I did. Alma, and he concludes, Mutter lihishtachavot lemi she'eino ne'evad. You're allowed to bow down to a person who has never insisted that he be worshipped as a god. Umikol mokum, nevertheless, says the Truma Sadeshan, yasim eino v'chol ha'yecholet. When he's bowing down, he should close his eyes. Right? In other words, to go listen to Meshura Sadin. Oh, yakum tenem bo'am. Or instead of standing up when they come into the room, he should already be standing, so that's also the Pnim Ashura Sadin. But mitzada halacha, there is no problem in bowing down to a person who is wearing an Avodah Zarah. Says the Marda Malshaker, Vadai the Eini Roeh Bekan Shumko. There's no problem. They're carrying the dust, and the dust is Avodah Zarah. It's not any worse than wearing an Avodah Zarah. You wear an Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to show that person that a cheres to stand up, and even to prostrate yourself in front of them. Chachidosh Nifla. And it's again, it's a tshuva based on the kasha from our parsha. It's not a kasha which comes on a shver, a taz, or a shach. It's a kasha based on our parsha. Okay. Let us now move on to a most important Ramban. We leave one or two items for another occasion. As you know, the whole episode of Sodom is central to our parsha. So I would like to direct your attention to Perek Yutes, Pasuk Hey. Perek Yutes, Pasuk Hey. So the two men arrive in Sodom, and they are greeted by Lot, who welcomes them into his home. No sooner have they settled down for the night than the Anshei Sodom are at the door, and they want to break it down, and they insist that the men be surrendered to them, the Neda or Osom, which according to Chazal has a sexual connotation. The Neda or Osom. Here we have to look at the Ramban, which is after all one of the classic works on our Torah. They wanted them to engage in homosexual activity. And what is the whole theme of Sodom v'Amorah, says the Ramban? On the words Veneda or Osom in the Mikros Gedolot. Kavon Osom, the intention by demanding that Lot surrender his guests, their intention is Lechalos Esoregel Mibenehem. They don't want visitors. They want to discourage tourists. They don't want them. Kizivrei Rabosenu, as Chazal pointed out. So what they are saying is, since they've come in, and you know we don't like visitors, so you've got to let us do whatever we want with them, because you had no right to let them in the first place. You should have told them to be on their way. Kichoshmu. Why did they not want visitors? Kichoshmu. Shebavur tovas arsom kihi kegan Hashem yavo shom rabi. Because before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire from heaven, it was the most fertile place you could possibly imagine. And they were afraid. It is such a beautiful place. If they don't discourage visitors, they will be swamped. And all the good of their land will be given over to people who are not of their origins. Behem hoyu moaseh ha-tzedakah, and they were people who totally despised the concept of giving tzedakah, of sharing. Ah, you'll say to me, so how did Lot get in there? Avolot v'yoshroo momo nobody. They had no objection to visiting millionaires. They had objections, should I coin the phrase, to visiting snorers. But not to visiting millionaires. Osha b'kesh mehem reshus. Oh, we can say that Lot only came after he had asked their permission. Osha kiblu lichvod Avram. Or they accepted him because they had derecheret for Avraham Avinu. Nesiyah lukim ato v'stochenu. V'hakos of meyinches ois kavanotham. And the Torah tells us, or Chazal, and Tanakh, all is filled with this theme, that whatever they did was just to discourage people from coming into their midst, because it was such a beautiful land and they didn't want to share it. And the Pasuk in Yechezkel confirms this. Hinei ze hoyo avon Sodom achoseich. Behold, this was the sin of Sodom, your sister. Go'on, they were proud. Sivach lechem, they were contented with their food. And they had peace, and they had prosperity, and had outskut. Yes. But they wouldn't share a penny with a poor person. Umasha Omar, and that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Roim v'chatoyim l'Hashem meyod, in Parshas Lech Lecha, shahoyim achisim emoldim, v'shalvosom, they were rebelling against God and angering him in their very prosperity, by the fact that they afflicted and persecuted the poor. Behusha Omar, that's what Yechezkel means in the next pasuk when he says, and you became haughty, and every abomination in front of me, for Osir Eshen, and I removed you, Kasher Oisi, as soon as I saw what you were up to. The Aldas Rabbo Salem, says the Ramban, you shouldn't think that this is the only thing that they did wrong. There wasn't anything nasty, that there wasn't anything evil that they didn't do. So why does Yechezkel pick out the fact that they didn't support the poor, they weren't charitable? The truth of the matter is, Hoyu Bohem Kolmidos Roav. They had amongst them all sorts of bad characteristics. Aye, why was their fate sealed? Because of their lack of charity. Because the other Aveiros that they did spasmodically from time to time. But this they did continually. Not one single person were they prepared to help or to assist. The Gam ki cholo amim osim tzedakos simreyehem, says the Ramban, honest to people who didn't have. So we have to know, therefore, that the sin of Sodom is, the main sin is the fact that they did not show any understanding for people who were less fortunate for themselves, and they wanted to discourage people from outside coming, because that would mean, in their eyes, that they would have to share the wealth and the fertility of the rich. Now the Ramban now goes on to say the following. Vedan, you should know, ki mishpat Sodom hoya lemalas eretz Yisroel. If you want to know why it is that the sin of Sodom v'Amora provoked such a dramatic punishment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should know that the reason why that happened is because Sodom and Amora is in Eretz Yisroel. And to sin in Eretz Yisroel is a more heinous crime than to sin in Chutz La'aretz. Because Eretz Yisrael is the inheritance of Hashem, the Enos Oveles Anshei Toevos, and Eretz Yisrael as a land cannot stomach people, either in the singular or plural, who do not behave in the correct manner. And in the same way as the land spewed out the nations who were guilty of so many crimes, as mentioned in Parshas Achrimos, the Koaso Etoom Hazeh Shohoyu Ro'im Mechulom LaShomayim VeLavriot. In the same way, centuries prior, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them because they were not only despicable, but did so and behaved in that manner in Eretz Yisrael. V'Shomu Aleim HaShomayim VeHaoretz V'Hushchesu Haoretz B'Lei Refua LeYoylam. Not only were they destroyed, but the land was turned into the most desolate and sterile place on earth. Why? They were punished because of their midos roos, and especially their lack of charity, and the fact that it took place in Eretz Yisroel. The land was made desolate because the fertility of the land was the reason why they adopted these acts. So that's why V'ro'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyihi Eliyos Livnei Meri, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to be a sign for us as a people, that if we behave ourselves, all will be well. And if we do not behave ourselves, says the Pasuk in Nisavim, remember please, God, this for Melach Srei for Cholarso, Asherlosi Zerat Sedrasedek Mafechat Sedom V'Amora, remember what happened to Sedom. But here we have 2 points which the Ramban makes. Number one, why they were visited with this punishment, and why they were visited with such a dramatic punishment. Their lack of charity was a crime, but there were other nations throughout the world that exhibited similar tendencies, but their fate was sealed because they committed these toevos in Eretz Yisrael, and in the word of Peter, Hagam lishboshes amalko imi babois. To seduce the queen is one thing. To seduce the queen in her own house is a crime of a more heinous variety. And to commit toevos anywhere is bad. To commit toevos in Eretz Yisrael is a disaster. Now, there is a further point that I want to make. And I think it is an extremely important point, and not without its contemporary relevance. The Ramban, after this particular section, has a very, very lengthy comment. And his comment surrounds a comparison of the episode of Sodom v'Amora, where the guests of Lot were summoned outside in order to be degraded, for want of a better word, The Ramban compares that episode to another episode in Tanakh, the episode of Pilegesh Begibah. Let me just summarize it in a moment. A man is married to a, well, it's a marriage, a concubine of Pilegesh. His name is Levi. He comes from Har Ephraim. So they're married for a while. She comes from Beis Lechem. And after a little while, she feels homesick. So she goes back to her father's house. He goes to Beis Lechem to bring her back. Father-in-law tries to persuade him from going back. He stay another day, another day, another day. Enough an evening meal, whatever it is. Anyway, at the end of the day or days, he takes her and they're on the way back. And they decide to spend the night in a place called Givat Binyamin. Nobody will offer them hospitality. An old man offers him hospitality, offers them hospitality. That's him and his Pilegesh and his lad. Well, they have been invited into this old man's house. All of a sudden, in the words of the Tanakh, Anshei Belial, rogues come to the door. They want him and they want his lad. To the long story short, the Pilegesh is sent out as a peace offering. They repeatedly rape her the whole night and she is left dying at the door. When he gets up in the morning, he tries to move her, he finds out she's dead, and the episode goes on. It is a most horrific. The Ramban asks, it's the same as Sodom and Gomorrah. And not only is there no gofres from Melach, nothing descends from heaven, but there is a war. And the tribe of Binyamin go out to defend the people of Binyamin who were involved in this atrocity. And if truth be told, the other tribes who go to war against Binyamin are not victorious the first time out. There are many casualties. Says the Ramban, why is there a difference between Pilegesh Begibah and Sodom V'Amora? In both of these cases, the people behaved abominably, and yet in one case there's fire from heaven, and in the other case, there's no divine punishment, and even to begin with, there is a difficulty to establish what's going to happen. That's the Ramban's question. What I would like to draw your attention to is the answer which is given by the Akedat Yitzchok, the Rav Yitzchok Aramo. Just a word, I haven't put it down. It's the Akedat Yitzchok is a very, very lengthy comment. But the Kitzur is as follows. The difference between Pilegesh Begibah and Sodom V'Amora is the following. In the case of Pilegesh Begibah, the laws were good laws. The constitution was a moral and ethical constitution in that city. You've got rogues and rascals. They're all over the place. The fact that there are bombers and rapers and bandits and scoundrels, it happens. The head of Sodom V'Amora was not what they did. The head of Sodom V'Amora was that what they did was enshrined in their constitution. A person who comes in uninvited to the city can be taken by members of the city and get all sorts of sexual depravity. As the halacha lemaisa. That's the law of the land. Says the Akedat Yitzchok. To do wrong is one thing. To legalize she'en lemaila hemen. That is not. And the interesting thing is that if you look into the psukim around here, you will notice in Pasuk Tes, when Lot offers his two daughters in place of his two guests. Now is not the time to discuss that particular situation. But what happens? He says to them, I've got two daughters, I'll bring them out to you. So Pasuk Tes, Vayomeru Gesh Holo. So they said to each other, let's draw near. Vayomeru, and they say, Ho echad vala gur vayishpot shofot. You got a man who's come to, he's been a recent immigrant, vayishpot shofot, which we usually translate as, and he's starting to judge us. Have a look at the Kliyokor. Ho echad vala gur vayishpot shofot. It appears, on a superficial reading, that the objection is that Lot, all of a sudden, is acting as a judge. There's the Kliyokor. Harebiyosa yom minuhu shofet aleim kamosha pirash rashi. That was the day he was appointed a judge. So what are they complaining about? Ho echad vala gur vayishpot shofot. He's come here, he wants to be a judge. I want to be a judge. He's a combination for the Supreme Court. What do you want to hear about? The Lama Hisramu Alasta. What are they complaining against Lot? That's the Kliyokor's question. Vahanachon hu kepirish hamaforishim bekeif and lochron vayishbot shofot. Says the Kliyoker, the answer is, according to those Meporishim who notice that it doesn't say Ho'echad Bolo Guva Yishpot. It's Ho'echad Bolo Guva Yishpot Shofot. So what is conveyed by the additional expression? Meaning, She'atah Rotzeh Lishpot Dover Shofot Kvar. Your sin, they say to Lot, is that you want to adjudicate on matters which have already been decided. His sin was not that he wanted them to behave. His sin was that he wanted them to change their constitution. He wanted them to say that he wanted to say to them that's a disgraceful law, a law that demands a person surrender his death for all types of nevola. That's a law. It's a travesty. It's a disgrace. It's a chepen abusha. So they said to him, Ho'echad bo lagu v'yishpot shofot. You've just come. By your spout your vote, and you are already judging as to what is a good constitution and what's not a good constitution. That you have no right to do. You're not even a person who's grown up here. Ho'echad bo lagur by your spout your vote. And exactly with the Akedah Yitzchak. The Akedah Yitzchak says the crime of Sodom is that they wanted to, they legalized all these toevot, and their tie against Lot was, not that you're taking your moral and ethical position. You are taking an unconstitutional position. That's why it can't be allowed. Because our constitution says not only that this is mutter, but that is this is zu aderech. That's the way it is. Aderech ha sheyelukuva v'samaisa sheyah. Okay. So that's, as I say, a number of observations in regards to Sodom v'Amor. Let us now move on, and it's just towards the end of that particular story, episode more correctly, where Lot, with his daughters, his wife looks behind and she becomes a Netziv Melach, although the Ibn Ezra says that the Netziv Melach doesn't go on Lot, it goes on the land. Other page. But anyway. So what happens? They take him out and they'd like him to run. He says, I'm an old man, I can't go wherever it is. So they go to Tzoar. Now what happens there? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Lot and his two daughters. Now this is an episode which one must approach with the greatest sensitivity, and it's not my intention at this moment to go into the actual episode itself. I just want to bring your attention to a very fascinating statement. Batomer habechiro el hatzin, or the older daughter says to the younger daughter, Avinu zokein, avado, v'ich ein ba'aretz, lavo aleinu kederech kol ha'aretz, and there is no man who can cohabit with us as is the manner of the world. So they consider themselves to be the last two women in the world, and the prospect of finding partners is absolutely, there's no prospect. Rashi, v'ish ein ba'aretz, there's no man in the land. How can they say such a thing? If the Vuro saw you, they were under the impression, shekol ha'olam nechra, that the entire world had been destroyed, k'mo b'dor ha'mavol. Like in the generation of the flood, there's nobody left. Have a look at the Bali Atosus. There's a Bali Atosus. The Ish Emor is nobody in the land. Tinesh Hamore, right, he gives Rashi the title of Mora, the teacher par excellence. Sevuro Soyu Shekol Huolam Nechrav Kedor Hamabur. They thought, says Rashi, quoting the Medrash, that the whole world had been destroyed, like in the Dor Hamabur. There's no men left. The Tame, says the Bali Atosus, I don't understand. Baharet Tsoar Lo Nechrava. The city of Tsoar wasn't destroyed. As the Pasuk itself indicates, Imolaton nor Shoma. Lot says to the angel, let me escape there, please don't destroy that. I'm too old to go away up to the mountains. And by Yomer, and the angel replies to that quest, Hinei nosasi ponecho gam ladover hazeh. I will agree with you also in that regard. I will allow you to go to Tsoar, and I will allow Tsoar to remain undestroyed. So Vishlech, to go to Tsoar? Upiresh Rashi. And Rashi says there, on those words, when the Malach says, I agree with you, lo dayech shaton itzol, not only will you be saved, ela af koloir atzil biglalech, I will save the whole town, in your zechus. Alma, from which we can see, shalei nechrovot so, I was not destroyed, the heich zevuro to you, how did they know, shekol ha'olam nechrov, that the whole world is destroyed, so are is alive and well. So the Kfali Atesta says like, v'yesh leimar, we would like to suggest, Ba'avur shalo hoyu ro'os shum over v'shav nispachtu.
truth of the matter is the city was safe. But when they came to Tsoar, they couldn't see a soul. Why? Kichol b'nei Tsoar b'ra'osam kichol eret tzedon v'amora hayu nechrovim nifchodim hayu lotzeis mibesam. When Tsoar saw what had happened to Sodom and Amora, they got frightened for their lives and they went back into their houses and they didn't move. So when Lot and his daughters came to Tsoar, they found the houses standing, but they didn't hear anything. They didn't see anything or anybody. So they immediately assumed the city has been left standing as somewhere for us to escape to, and it will not be visited with the same punishment as Sodom and Amora. But as far as the people are concerned, there's nobody left. So therefore they said, Vadai kolo olam nechrav, v'yomru v'ish ein v'oretz ha-setra. That's the first answer of Tosfos. V'rab tzidkiyo v'rab avrom motzo l'solfasem tzidutz achir. V'rab tzidkiyo, he found amongst the French scholars, he found a different reason altogether as to why they said there is no man with whom we can cohabit. You know why? If you were from Sodom, I'm sorry to tell you, my friends, nobody was going to touch you with the proverbial biblical barge pole. And they had just come from Sodom. Nobody is going to marry us, because the only people whom Sodom girls have ever been able to marry is Sodom men. And so though men have gone the way of all flesh, in a manner of speaking. And there's nobody left now. That's why they couldn't. That's why they say, the Elish, the Yishain Ba'oretz, etc. Not there's nobody left in the world. Of all Einam. But they don't want us. Because we are Sodomios. So you see, their reputation went before them. And they weren't able, they were convinced nobody was ever going to marry them. Okay. Let's then conclude our observations this evening with a most beautiful midrash explained in a sefer which I've had in my library for a little while. At the end of the Akedah, in Perek Kafei, Pasuk Yud Dalet, something most beautiful. Vayikra Avraham, and Avraham called Shem Hamakom Hahu Hashem Yireh. Avraham Avinu called the site of the Akedah Hashem Yireh, the Almighty will see, or will notice. Okay. Says the Medrash, Medrash Rabbah. Avraham Koroosa, Avraham called that place by the name Yireh. As the Pasuk says, Vayikro Avraham Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh. Shem, the son of Noach, Koroosa Shalem. He called the place Shalem. Shneemar, Umalkitzedek Melech Shalem. So the place was called by Avram Avinu Yireh, and it was called by Shem ben Noach, who is none other than Malkitzedek Shalem. Is Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Im Korei Ani Yoso Yireh, Geshem Shekorah Oso Avraham. If I will call the place Yireh like Avram Avinu called it, Shem Adam Sadik Misroein, then Shem will be most upset, that his name has been discarded. The Imkore Ani Oso Shalem, and if I will call it Shalem, Avraham Adam Sadiq, Avraham will complain. Elahareni Kore Oso Yerushalayim. I will call it Yerushalayim, Kamosha Koru Shanaim, a combination of both their names. Yireh, Shalem, Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim, I would say, is founded on compromise. It's a rather interesting concept, but we're not going to, now is not the time for any of that for sure. Okay. So the Medrash says, Yireh was called by Avraham Avinu, Shalem by Shem. What is the Medrash all about? There is a sefer called Nachlas David, by Reb David Tevel's Mimin. To tell you who Reb David Tevel is difficult for me, certainly at this juncture of the evening. Suffice it to say, that Reb Velva Brisker Zatzal once said, Reb Chaim Volozhin has left behind very little writing. We know very little about his shiurim that he gave in Volozhin. We know very little about his shiurim. Why? Because one of his Talmidim was the Mishkanist Yankiv, Reb Yaakov Mikhalin. And another of his Talmidim was Reb David Tevel's, the author of Nachlas. And a man who has two Talmidim like that has to be somebody else. That's what Reb Belvin has said to him. So that's an introduction to the Nachlas Dovid. Only thing I wanted to mention is the Nachlas Dovid and Brochus. There's a Hakdama from his son who said that he's publishing the Sefer as an act of Kibbutz Av because he never had the skus to perform Kibbutz Av. His father died at the age of 70, a few years after he was born. Hagan Samaisi writes in the Hakdama. But this is the Nachlas Dovid. On Gemara, he is extraordinary. So back to the problem. Shem calls it Sholem, and Avraham Avinu calls it Yira. We're not going to go through the whole lot. Maybe a half of it. V'hanireh v'kavonosom. It appears to me that what is at stake in this particular medrash is as follows. Lihiyosh ki eres Yisrael michulekes mishare arotzos v'shtei devorim. You should know that Eretz Yisrael is different from every other country in the world in two regards. Ho echad, the first. Ki hi Eretz lo sechza kombo. Eretz Yisrael is a land that lacks nothing. Vahakavono, meaning, ki hi kelula mikol minei haflemos shenimsiim alpinei seveil arza. It contains all types of perfection which are found in the world. Masha'en came to Sha'are Kolarotos Kulon, which is not the case in all other lands. Ki imshle musomrak parotiyim, zubiko. Because in regard to all other nations, there are certain areas where the country is outstanding. Here, there, in minerals, in whatever else it may be. Ulam kolachas mayachas yechsalahen harvim haklemos. Any other country lacks klemos in everything. Vitzerichim lahaklim cheslonom yishare yarotos hakrobot borachokos. And they need to bring in things from other countries in the world because whereas they may have certain outstanding merits, but they are not totally, completely, in every regard outstanding, only in one or two aspects. Why is Eretz Yisrael perfect in every way? The answer is partial. Vihi, Yan ki Eretz Yisrael umakom beisamidosh, hu mishis mashtiso shel olam, v'lal kach nikro even shesiyon. The reason is because the world was created from the Eved Yisrael, which is on the Haravayas, which is Yerushalayim, which is Eretz Yisrael, who bore your raw Eved Pinoso, Bereshis Habriyah, and that is the stone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, threw down at the beginning of creation, who Mimeno Yuzad, Shesos Yisrael, Yeretz Ho'olam Bichlalo, and it is from that stone that all the world was created. So therefore, Ki Nimshichu Mimeno Gidim Mizeo Mizeo L'cholo Arosos Kulon. Therefore, that stone which contains the source of all goodness, there are veins going out from that stone to various countries. That's why certain countries have got flamus in one regard, because one of the veins has gone down to that country. The vein which brings fertility for fruit. The vein which brings fertility for whatever else it is. A vein which brings gold and silver and diamonds. All those veins which emanate from Eretz soil, some of them end up in other countries, but they all don't end up in any one country. But the veins all emanate from Eretz soil. So therefore, Hakol lefi machlok tzivonim is gone. V'yavirom. But uvi Eretz Yisrael chayavu lahamsi kulam. But in Eretz Yisrael, everything is there. Why? Ki yan ki mimeno nimshach shefa habriya lecholo arotzos kulano kamo shiomru chazal. As indeed Chazal have said, yoda shalomo hagid haholechet lekush v'not avu pilpilim. As an example, Chazal say, King Solomon with his wisdom was able to discover the vein that went to the land of Ethiopia where it was famous for its pilpilim. And he was able to tap that vein, because that vein emanated from Eretz Yisrael, and along that vein, he planted all these various items, which the land of Cush is famous for. And so it is with everything else. All the veins, which bring all those good things to these various countries on an individual basis, collectively, they are all found at Eretz Yisrael. So if you want to know one of the aspects of the land, it is that Yisrael. It is complete. It is perfect. There is no physical treasure cannot be found in Eretz Yisrael, because the Eved Shesiyah was there, the veins go out from that country, and the veins emanate to all countries of the world, but it all starts here, and therefore it all is here. That's one aspect in which Eretz Yisrael is different than others. Zos v'yodachiris. Another aspect in which Eretz Yisrael is unique. Ki Eretz Yisrael miyuchedes b'hashkochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoyseh mikolu arotzos. Eretz Yisrael is special to the effect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is personally involved in its destiny. As the Pasuk says, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doreshoto, Tomei Nenei Hashem Elokecha Bo, Minei Sheshono V'Yadach Rishona. Now, so therefore there's two things. The Shleimus and Eretz Hashgacha. When did this second aspect of Eretz Yisrael begin? Fascinating. This idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is uniquely involved in Eretz Yisrael, but not in any other country in the world, that only began with the Tower of Babel. Because from that moment, what happened to the Tower of Babel? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered people all over the world and sent them to individual countries and gave them their own language. Says the Nachalat David, that moment when every country was given not only its own language, its own people, but its own angel to look after it. And that was the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave dominion, as it were, to the ministering angels to look after every country, but chose to remain exclusively with Eretz Yisrael. So Shleimus is from the beginning of time. Hashgacha dates from Dor HaFlocha. Now, let me say over the final words, Balpeh. Shame came to the world. Shame was born before Dor HaFlocha. He wanted to speak in praise of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. There's only one way in which Eretz Yisrael was special in his day. Shalem. It had everything. Misheshev Yemei Bereishis. Abraham Avinu came after the Baruch Hu, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him the Zarach HaWetenus, the one that's out. He was able to say that there is another aspect of Eretz Yisrael which has been Nitzchadesh recently. Shem Yireh. The Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is exclusive to Eretz Yisrael. Heine Hashem Elokecha Bo, Bereish Hashanah V'Yadach Rishon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what will I do? I can't leave out Sholem because Shem is right. I can't leave out Avraham, Hashem Yireh, because Avraham is right. The beauty of this explanation is that the Medrash, which is the long Medrash, which I have not quoted in its entirety, goes on to say that Li'osid Lovos, when Mashiach comes, the name Yerushalayim will be dropped, and the name of that city will be Sholem. Vayehi b'Sholem Suko, u'me'onoso b'tzio. Why? Says the Nachlas David, because when Mashiach comes, v'hoyo Hashem lemelech al kol ha'ar. The union of Hashgacha being exclusive to Eretz Yisrael will come to an end. Vayom ahu yiyah Hashem echad u'shmo'echa. So therefore the Hashem Yireh aspect of Yerushalayim will be discontinued. And all that will be left all to celebrate as the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael is not the Hashgachas Hashem, but the Shleimus that is in Eretz Yisrael. And that is why Li'osid Lovo, it will no longer be called Yerushalayim, it will be called Sholem. By Yehi B'Sholem, Sukkot, Umeon, Osob, Zion. We'll leave it over here.